the microphone right now. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. We're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which I think most of you guys know. And right now, in Holy Spirit Guides, what I am doing is telling the story of Regina and Laurent. And, of course, Laurent is here to witness to the story. This is a story that's going to take a bit of time to tell. It took us a year and a half to really live it, and I'm not sure how long it will take to tell it, so it's an ongoing story. But it really is, I think, a magnificent story. It's a beautiful story because it's a story of healing. Over the last 2 weeks, I've shared two messages that I think are very important messages. Basically, the story that I've told so far about Regina and Laurent is how we came together for the purpose of healing, and how the first 3 weeks, well, just to keep the story short, were basically hell. We had a lot of difficulty within our own minds. We had an experience that Holy Spirit lovingly called the killer and the killed, where at first it appeared that Laurent was judgmental of me, and I was the victim, the receiver of the judgment. So he was the killer and I was the killed. We certainly were not happy with this dance that we were dancing together. And after 3 weeks, Laurent felt to take a little break, and he went to see his cousin out in California. Just before he went, he and I had a discussion, and we did feel like, it's kind of funny now that I laugh at it, you know, it's kind of funny now that I look back at it, because, you know, we'd only been together 3 weeks, but I guess the pain was so intense, we kind of perceived ourselves as failures at our purpose after only 3 weeks, because of the way we felt about each other and in each other's presence. So I asked Holy Spirit to please give me something that would be helpful to Laurent, and I really feel like this is the first time that I probably allowed myself to love him as my brother, to love him as the same as me. I didn't want him to leave feeling like a failure. I knew the one thing I could see in Laurent was his willingness, his desire to heal, and I wanted to gift him with something that would be truly helpful towards that purpose. So when I asked in sincerity for something helpful, Holy Spirit gave me a message called The Power of Light. And we went over that message 2 weeks ago. After that, Holy Spirit then also gave me a message to be helpful to me. And that message was called The Flow. And we went over that last week. So right now, where we are in the story of Regina and Laurent, is that Laurent is in California with Avi, yes, his cousin Avi, and I am at the house. He is in California really focusing on the message, The Power of Light, and I am in North Carolina really focusing on the flow. And what we're going to look at is as I focused on the message of the flow, I came up with additional questions for Spirit. So what we're going to look at are what I call the flow part two. And if we have time tonight, we'll also look at the flow part three, which are continued discussions I had with Holy Spirit about the flow that week while Laurent and I were physically apart. So, wow, and Cheryl says it's 80. You're talking about in Paris? Is that right, Laurent? Is it 80 in Paris today? That'd be pretty amazing, huh? Okay, so let me give you a link. This is a link to a message called More in the Flow. Oh, you thought he was in California. He says there's snow in Paris. It was 80 in California, which is where Cheryl is, and she thought Laurent was there. But when I said Laurent was in California, Cheryl, I'm talking about September of 2007. So he was there then. So I've just given you a link. It's a link to the message of the flow continued, the second part of the message of the flow. What I want to do, of course, before we start reading this message, is say a prayer. So if you all would join me. Are you coming into the room, Jasmine?
I don't know.
Maybe. Okay, so if you all would join me, I would appreciate it. Holy Spirit, I am very grateful for the story of Regina and Laurent, because, as I said, it is a story of healing. Of course, it was a story of healing my mind. And although it seems like there were difficult times, there's not a moment of that entire experience that I am not wholly grateful for. In fact, I perceive that experience as one of the greatest gifts you have ever given me. I am also grateful, Holy Spirit, for this opportunity to revisit that story and revisit these messages. Because as I look again, now that my mind is in a different place than it was when I originally received the messages, I see even more value, and I can take a couple of extra jewels that I may have missed the first time around. I want to thank you for your guidance, for your loving, loving, and absolutely perfect guidance. Spirit, prompt me to pray to you. I know that my experience with Laurent came because I was wise enough to pray and ask for something that would take me higher into love. I know that my experience with Inner Ramana came because I was wise enough to pray and ask for something that would take me to the next step. When it is time for me to pray and ask for something, prompt me to pray. Make me aware that all I need to do is ask, and you are waiting, ready to deliver the very next thing that will be perfect for me. Thank you, and amen. Okay. So Jasmine is in the room. all right. Maybe, I don't know if anybody else entered the room either, but here's the link. If anybody wants to look at the message, 30 people in the room. As I said last week, I will try to keep my eyes on the board so that as additional people come in, I can re-paste the link. But once I get teaching, I'm not necessarily good at that. So if someone else happens to notice the membership is going up and you feel to repaste the link for those who are joining us, that would be great. Hopefully everybody who wants the message will get it. This message comes from September 2007, and it is called More on the Flow. I'm going to skip the first two paragraphs. Those are just commentary from me, the two in blue. And I'm going to start with the third paragraph, which is in black. I had gone to Holy Spirit asking for more guidance regarding the message of the flow, and this is what Holy Spirit gave. The flow isn't just an idea. It is a fact. It is reality. Nothing happens or is experienced outside the flow. Nothing is independent. Nothing can be done differently than how the flow would have it done. Options do not exist outside the reality of the flow, and any option chosen within the flow is of the flow. Being of the flow, it is of perfect oneness and made in complete agreement. In this way, it is beyond the possibility of judgment. All judgment imagines independent options from outside the flow. Well, of course, for me, the best way to imagine or to picture what what God is talking about here, I'm laughing, I changed it to God because the word that came to my mind was Jehovah, which of course is the name for God. So the word that came to my mind was what Jehovah is talking about here. I'll change it to God or to Holy Spirit, but I thought I would throw that out there. Jehovah, which is a name for God that doesn't come to my mind very often. Jehovah, I believe, would mean, I think it means I am that I am. Does anybody know for sure? If anybody is really bored while I'm talking, go look up Jehovah and come back and let us know. I think it means I am that I am, right? So Jehovah, I am that I am, I guess, gave us this message, true? Where else could it come from? So I guess I'll just keep using that name for now since that's the name that came. So Jehovah, our oneness, is speaking of here. I'm going to pause for a moment. What's Christian got here? Jehovah. Yeah. Yeah, is the vocalization of Yahweh, which is the proper name of God in the Israel Hebrew Bible. So yeah, it's I am that I am, I believe, is what that means. All right, so let me get back on track here. The word Jehovah threw me off track because that just never comes out of my mouth. So I was completely surprised by what I was being asked to say here. But I'm just going to relax, accept it, and go with it. How's that? Let go of my resistance to using the name Jehovah. How's that? This is what we call practicing forgiveness live. All right, so for tonight, I will be using that name unless a prompt comes to stop doing it. All right, so back to the message. So the message that we are given here by Jehovah, by our oneness. Oh, wait, Cheryl just posted something. Yes, it is I am that I am. So really, it's a perfectly cool name, don't you think, Jehovah? I'm so grateful that it popped into my mind, although I never use it. So I am that I am, our oneness, our isness is where this message came from. All right. So the way that is helpful for me to imagine or picture what Jehovah is saying is when I think of something like a computer game. Probably one thing many of you don't know is that one thing that I used to do for a living before I got onto this spiritual path was I was a corporate trainer. And a part of what I did as a corporate trainer was computer-based training. And often I created scenario training, which would mean I would write a story. Maybe it's a story to teach managers how to manage people. And I would write a story with different options in it. For example, a manager might be having a counseling session with an employee. And I would, you know, they would be watching this like movie. And then we'd come to a point in the movie where it would stop. And I would give the student who was watching the movie the opportunity to choose what they would say to the employee next as they're playing the role of manager. And they might be able to pick A, B, C, or D. They might have four options. Based on what they would choose, the movie would then continue, right? And they would get a certain reaction out of the employee and things would go off in a certain direction. And these computer scenario, these training scenarios, could get quite complex. So there were all kinds of things that could happen. There were things that could go wrong, and then the manager could realize, wow, I've made an error. But then when the next choice came along, could make a smarter choice and get things moving back in the right direction again. It was a great way to learn, and anything could happen. And it wasn't necessarily the same, you know, when three different people went through it, right? They'd have three different experiences. But what they could not do is make a choice or have an experience that was outside of the computer program that we designed for them. There was no way. They were absolutely limited to what was pre-written, even though there were many choices and directions to go. We're all familiar with the term from A Course in Miracles, the script is written. Well, this is really the same idea that Jehovah is pointing to in this particular message. I am that I am, right? Our script is written. And when we get to the code, which is a message that's going to come later, we're going to learn more about that, about how it is written. But for now, we're just going to go with the script is written. And the way those options come to me, remember I said in the training scenario, you know, it may show up on the screen. Now you can say this to the employee, A, B, C, or D, and the manager student would pick. Well, you get those same options. You know, you may get two options, you may get 20 options. And those options show up as your thoughts. Your thoughts show up, and your thoughts give you ideas on what you can say or what you can do. It might even provide the idea to do nothing. And based on what you choose, right, the scenario runs off in a specific direction. But what is very, very interesting, if you think about it, just think about it for a second. You really can't step outside the game. There's no way that you can make a choice if the option is not provided to you, right? If there is no thought whatsoever to suddenly sit down, for example, you're not going to suddenly sit down. So you really are provided a limited set of options. And those options come from our oneness. Yeah, Wayne is calling it a closed system. When you perceive yourself as independent, you may perceive those thoughts as your thoughts. And so you may also perceive that the options are yours, right? That you made them, you alone as an individual, an independent individual. And you may also perceive that you can be guilty for those options and for the option that you choose. But if you can accept what we are being taught here, that the options that come into your mind actually come from our oneness. And no matter which option you choose, there's some level of agreement, right? It's playing a game. Then you'll see how you can never, ever be guilty. There's not the possibility of independently making a choice. It does not exist because the choices themselves come from our oneness, right? The choices themselves come from our oneness. So if you suddenly get upset at someone and start yelling at them, right, that is just an option that was provided within the closed system, and you chose that option, and now the scenario is going to go off in a certain direction, right? Now, it is true that because there are multiple options, and because there are options that come to the mind from the ego, which would be our unified decision to have an experience that is different than truth, and because there may be options that are provided by the Holy Spirit, which is coming from our unified remembrance of our truth, our unified decision to heal, you do have options that could move you towards peace, move you towards healing, and options that move you further from it. But there are not options that are outside of what's provided by our oneness. So judgment, the idea that I am guilty for making this choice, or you are guilty for making that choice, is just imagination. It's literally imagination. It's pretending that you or I could do something all by ourselves, independent of the whole. And that's not possible. All right? So let me read this top paragraph again. The first paragraph in black. The flow isn't just an idea. It is a fact. It is reality. Nothing happens or is experienced outside the flow. Nothing is independent. Nothing can be done differently than how the flow would have it done. Options do not exist outside the reality of the flow, and any option chosen within the flow is of the flow. Being of the flow, it is of perfect oneness and made in complete agreement. In this way, it is beyond the possibility of judgment. All judgment imagines independent options from outside the flow. So you see, all judgment is just an error. All right, let's go on to the next paragraph. The flow is most useful to you, Regina, right now, as a means of seeing clearly that you are only perfect love. You judge yourself whenever you feel you are less than perfect, when you feel you are not the perfect expression of love. a state that is not perfect love, created through perfect oneness, cannot exist. You ready? A state that is not perfect love, created through perfect oneness, cannot exist. It is literally impossible. Every moment is perfection. You, as you perceive yourself, are the perfect result of every perfect moment. Now, last week we talked about why the message of the flow was given to me. And I'll just kind of run over that briefly again for anyone who wasn't here. But basically, in the dance that Laurent and I were dancing out when we first came together, we were the killer and the killed. He was playing the role of the killer, and I was playing the role of the killed. Well, what the first message of the flow taught me was that I couldn't play the role of killed. I couldn't play the role of killed. Killed. Unless the killer was in my mind. In other words, Laurent and I may have agreed that he was the killer, and we may have both had our fingers pointing towards him saying killer, right? But Holy Spirit said that was impossible. That unless the killer was in my mind, I could never play the role of killed. So if Laurent, for example, indicated that there was a thought in his mind that I was not perfect in some way, and I felt killed by what he shared, the reason I felt killed was not because that idea was in his mind. The reason I felt killed is because that idea was also in my mind, because I had an agreement in my mind that I was less than. And so what Holy Spirit taught with the first message of the flow, again, was that I could only play the role of killed if the killer was in my mind, if judgment was in my mind, right? So what Holy Spirit is saying in this particular message here, starting in the second paragraph, is that it's absolutely impossible for me to be less than perfect. Absolutely possible for me to be less than perfect. It's also absolutely impossible for Laurent or any of you to be less than perfect. It's impossible. That we are always perfect love created through perfect oneness. And right now, he's not just talking about our truth. We know, at least at an intellectual level, that our truth is perfect love. But he is not just talking about our truth, because he says in the very last sentence, you, as you perceive yourself. So you see, he's not just talking about our truth, because I did not perceive myself as my truth. I perceived myself as Regina, and I would have been able to give you a number of descriptors exactly about how I felt about myself at that time. And to be honest, most of those descriptors at this particular time were not incredibly positive. So we're talking about negative descriptors, right? Negative descriptors such as I am ugly, right? I do not have a good sense of style. But there were some that I perceived as positive. Again, we're all talking perception. We are talking judgment. But, you know, I thought that some of the things that were, quote, good about me were that I had simple tastes, for example, right? But these are all perceptions. These are all judgments. But he is saying even that made-up personality. We talked about last week how the personality is made up, and we can tell that it's made up. Because it is not consistent, it changes over time, it changes from one circumstance to another. He is saying even the made-up cartoon character, right, is the perfect result of every perfect moment. So he is not saying that you are perfect in your truth, but yeah, I agree, you know, your personality could use some improvement. He's saying your personality, your body, the entire illusion, right, of who you think you are, exactly as it is perfect right now. And he's telling us the reason it's perfect is because it is a part of this closed system that we designed together. In other words, whatever the Regina personality is, that's something we made. And we made it perfectly. It's exactly what we want the Regina personality to be. The same thing is true with the Laurent personality, the Debbie personality, the Danielle personality, the Fran personality, right? The Dove personality. Yes, even the Cliff personality. You know, today we were talking about our friend Kathy J. Kathy J. sent Laurent and me a letter. She was actually inspired by these messages when they were coming. And she sent us a letter in which she shared a realization that she had. She said that often, you know, she felt that she was, of course, miscreating by choosing wrong options in her mind. And she felt guilty about these miscreations, right? And many of you know this experience. But by listening to the messages that were given to Regina and Laurent and listening to Holy Spirit within herself, she had this realization that, you know, it's like when a child does not yet know how to draw and the child takes a crayon or something and just scribbles and scribbles and scribbles and scribbles and then gives it to the mom. And the mom looks at it with eyes of love and just says, "That is perfect. That is beautiful. I love it. Thank you so very much." And hangs it up on the refrigerator, right? The mother loves the scribbles. The mother doesn't say, "That's not good enough." Well, that's similar to what Spirit is saying here, that what we are choosing to do with our oneness is perfect. And the real reason it's perfect is because we are choosing to do that with our oneness. We may be scribbling at this point, right? We may be scribbling, but we're doing it together and it's absolutely perfect. Every personality, every body that we are scribbling with that crayon is absolutely perfect. And the reason it is perfect, this is important, the reason it is perfect is because we're doing it together. There is no independence. So the flow is most useful to you right now. This intellectual knowledge that I'm giving you, Holy Spirit says, is most useful if you look at it this way. This is how I'm trying to help you, Spirit says. The flow is most useful to you right now as a means of seeing clearly that you are only perfect love. You judge yourself whenever you feel you are less than perfect. When you feel you are not the perfect expression of love, a state that is not perfect love, created through perfect oneness, cannot exist. It is literally impossible. Every moment is perfection. You, as you perceive yourself, are the perfect result of every perfect moment. Experience at the level of effect is only experience. It is not reality. All right. So he's saying that our personality, our body, just like it is perfect. But he is also saying that's not our reality. Okay. So it's not like our reality is perfect and our illusion is imperfect. He's saying they're both perfect. And if you think about that for even half an instant, you'll see it has to be true. Because how could something perfect truly create something imperfect? It's not possible. So, our reality is our reality, and the illusion is illusion. But both are perfect. Experience at the level of effect is only experience. It is not reality. But experience cannot be judged separate from reality, since experience exists within the mind of reality. If experience is judged, reality is judged also. If you think about that for a moment, let's go back to Kathy J's example of the child that scribbles and scribbles and scribbles, right? when he gives that to the mother and the mother says, oh, that's so beautiful, thank you so much, isn't she telling the child really, oh, you are beautiful, thank you so much? I mean, if she takes the scribbles and she says to the child, well, that's not drawing, that's nothing, right? Isn't she telling the child indirectly, you aren't good enough? Isn't that what the child hears? Well, what Holy Spirit is telling us is when we judge the creation, we also judge the Creator. We talked about this last week as well. If we say the world is bad, we are also saying I am bad, since really what we are in reality is the capital S self, or the creator of this illusion, the maker of this illusion. So we cannot judge the creation without judging the creator, ourself. So when I judge Laurent, I am judging what I am, or I am judging Jehovah, I am that I am. And if Laurent should say something and I take that in as a self-judgment, that means that I am judging myself. I am judging my capital S self, Jehovah, I am that I am. Experience at the level of effect is only experience. It is not reality. But experience cannot be judged separate from reality, since experience exists within the mind of reality. If experience is judged, reality is judged also. You cannot judge the creation without judging the creator. You cannot judge yourself, and here he's even talking about the little s self, right? Without judging the totality of yourself, the capital S self, which is God. I see now why Jehovah came into this, right? Because Jehovah, that word, we discussed it at the very beginning before we even read this message, but Jehovah, that word, is really making it very clear, if we know the meaning of Jehovah, I am that I am, it's making it very clear that God is not separate from us, right? Jehovah, I am that I am. I am that I am. Capital S self. I cannot judge my creation without also judging myself. Yeah, I am that I am and nothing else. Imagine that. I am Jehovah. And if Jehovah, our oneness, if Jehovah creates an experience designed for thinking we are something else, something other than Jehovah, that experience is perfect. To judge it as bad is an error. It is perfect. It's exactly what it was designed to be. And every character, every one of us as we perceive ourselves, is absolutely perfect. The only error is our judgment of that. If we, quote, talk a lot, if we're known for talking a lot, that is perfect. The only error would be to call that talking too much. If we are quiet, if we hardly ever say anything, that is perfect. The only error would be judging that we should be talking. Exactly the way the personality is, the body, the shape, the size, the current state of health is perfect. Jehovah creates perfectly, always. Experience at the level of effect is only experience. It is not reality. But experience cannot be judged separate from reality, since experience exists within the mind of reality. If experience is judged, reality is judged also. You cannot judge the creation without judging the Creator. You cannot judge your little s self without judging the totality of your capital S self, which is God. Here lays the root of all fear. And maybe you can see that. If we have this judgment of capital S self, this judgment of Jehovah going on through our judgment of everything we experience, it creates this underlying fear. So the real cause of all fear is judgment. The real cause of all fear is judgment. And for me, that's very good news, because if I can pin down the cause of all fear, I then have an idea what the one solution is, right? It would be to let go of that judgment or that judging mind, right? Total, perfect acceptance of all things. Next paragraph. With that said, focus on the flow. Keep your mind today, in every moment, aware of the flow that is. In other words, Spirit wanted me to keep it in my mind that I am not independent. At this time, he's not even asking me to practice discernment, although certainly that comes. At this point, he is saying, whatever you say, whatever you do, I want you to hold on to the thought that that was an option in the flow and that you could not have chosen another option. And if it's an option within the flow, then the entire oneness was a part of providing that option. I want you to become aware of the fact that it is impossible for you, as you perceive yourself, to be independent. And I did become aware of that fact as I focused on it. As you focus on anything, you see. I just knew that, you know, if Jasmine said something to me, there may be a thought that says, say this back. There may be a thought that says, you know, get angry. There may be a thought that says, notice that you want to get angry and let it go, right? Maybe these are three options that show up in my mind. I would become aware of the three options, and I would notice there wasn't another one, right? I can quickly say this back, or I can just get mad. Oh, she's listening. Or I can just get mad, or I can notice I want to get mad and choose to let that go. But I can't do anything else because these are the only options given. And then I accepted that all of those options were given by the flow. So if I happen to make the choice to get angry at Jasmine, right? If that's the choice I made, and if I got angry and the scenario goes marching down that road, it's still a choice within the flow. It is still perfect. Still a part of the game. The judgment of it is the error. So with this said, focus on the flow. Keep your mind today, in every moment, aware of the flow that is. Want only the flow, and you want only reality. Immerse yourself in gratitude within the awareness of the flow, and you accept yourself and your brothers as the echo of the reality that you are. And it's absolutely true. If we start paying attention to ourself as a part of the flow, and we recognize that our options are limited, and that anything we do was created as an option by the whole, and we begin to become more forgiving of ourselves, which means less judgmental of ourselves as a result of this realization, what also happens automatically is that we become more forgiving or less judgmental of our brothers for choosing among the options that showed up in their mind as a part of their script. All right, now, there was another message on the flow during during this week that Laurent and I were apart, and so I'm going to share that as well. If you are in the message with me right now, you can scroll to the top, and you'll notice where it says More on the Flow, message number 3, and you can click on that. If you are not in the message with me right now and you want to join us, I am pasting a link, and you can use this link to join us. So this is More on the Flow, message number 3. This was actually the same day, because what happened that day is when Spirit spoke to me in the morning, I had great clarity on the flow, great clarity on how the options are limited, great clarity on you can't judge the creation without judging the Creator. But as the day moved on, I lost that clarity, and I began to get very, very confused again. So later in the afternoon, I went back to Spirit with some questions about the flow. So here we go. Here's my first question. With the teaching of the flow in mind, I'd like to ask about choice. You said that in reality there is nothing to choose between. There is only the flow. You also refer to any option chosen within the flow. Are there options? Are there choices? And if there are, doesn't that create room for error and judgment? Now the funny thing is, as I look at this now from a different state of mind, right, 3 years later, what I see clearly that I did not see clearly then is that I was literally arguing for my guilt. Think about that. I'm arguing for my guilt. Spirit taught me in the morning it is impossible for me or anyone else to be guilty. And now I'm coming back and saying, but wait a minute. If there's 4 options that come into my head, if I have the option, for example, to get angry and the option to let that go and not make it get angry, and I choose to get angry, aren't I guilty? I have to be guilty. I'm literally screaming, I have to be guilty. I'm arguing for my guilt. All right, so are there options? Are there choices? And if there are, doesn't that create room for error and judgment? Okay, here's Holy Spirit's answer. Right now you are slipping. Notice what Holy Spirit says. You are slipping into seeing yourself as independent. And this will lead to judgment and a sense of unworthiness. It is not at all helpful to see yourself in this way, which is why I've asked you to remain focused on the flow. There are no options separate from the flow, and you cannot make an independent decision at any time. Independence does not exist, but within the mind of reality, there are multiple vibrational forces in effect. These vibrational forces are cause, which work together to create effect. So Spirit's going to start talking to me now a little bit more about where the options come from and why there is choice within the flow. However, it's very important what he said in the first paragraph before we go into this next discussion. It's very important to realize that if I see myself as independent, as separate, I will also see myself as guilty. The way to realize I am not guilty, the way to realize my innocence, is also to accept that it is impossible for me to be separate. It is impossible for me to be independent. And this is a pretty important point because, of course, the ego argues for our independence. That's why it also argues for our guilt. They are synonymous. If I could be independent of you, then I could be guilty of hurting you, right? I would be killer and you would be killed. But if every single thing that happens comes from our oneness, right? If every single thing that happens comes from our oneness, there is nothing I can do independent of you. Therefore, there is no way I can be guilty. No way. Because every possibility that I have to choose from is an agreement. And the same is true for you. So, independence, separation, equals the belief in guilt. And the healing of that is accepting our complete oneness in all things. Okay, so let me read this next paragraph again, and then we'll go into the next question. There are no options separate from the flow, and you cannot make an independent decision at any time. Independence does not exist. But within the mind of reality, there are multiple vibrational forces in effect. These vibrational forces are cause, which work together to create effect. Okay, and so then my question, still looking for my guilt, you know, like a little radar trying to find my guilt. Is there a choice in vibration, right? Maybe I'm choosing the wrong vibration. There's my guilt. I must be independent in that. Okay, but let's listen to what Spirit says. There is always a choice in vibration. And the choice you make in vibration collides in unison with the totality of vibrational choice, and an option comes into being. Now, when we get to the message of the code, this is explained much better. But Spirit is telling me there is a choice in vibration, right? What is the choice in vibration? Well, if two options come into my mind, get mad or notice you want to get mad and put that aside, those are two different vibrations. You can feel it if you look at it, right? A choice in perception is another word. I mean, just look at the idea. Look at what that feels like in your mind when the idea of getting mad is there. Look at what that feels like. With your imagination, you know, you've all had that prompt before. Now look at the other option of see your desire to get mad. Now take a breath and put that aside. Can you feel the vibrational difference? So there's always a choice in vibration. However, both options were provided by our oneness. Because a part of our oneness still seeks for the experience that is different than our truth, and a part of our oneness is awakening. It's the split mind at the oneness level, you could say. All right? So there is always a choice in vibration, and the choice you make in vibration collides in unison with the totality of vibrational choice, and an option comes into being. So remember we talked about in my training scenarios how a manager could choose A, B, C, or D, and then based on what they chose, it was written what the employee will say next, right? Well, this is saying that if I choose to get angry, if I choose to get angry at Jasmine, for example, the options that are now going to come into her mind from our oneness, right, come from the vibrational choice I just made. Now, it doesn't mean her choices are limited, right? Her choices are not limited. There's still going to be Holy Spirit choices and ego choices. But the choices that are going to come in are going to come in based on the choice I just made. Just like I am taking a computer program and I chose option A, and now everything that's provided next comes from the fact that I chose option A. If I had chose option B, everything provided next, all the next options would have been different. So it's like I just chose a path within this computer program, and as a result of the path I chose, the options that come next are there. They're written by what I chose. Okay, so there is a seeming difference. There's a difference in what's going to happen if I choose to get angry or if I choose to let that go and not get angry. There's a difference. It's a difference between option A and option B in a computer program. What has not changed is that I did not leave the oneness, nor did any other bodies that seem to be involved in this little scenario. Nothing is outside of the oneness. So there is always a choice in vibration, and the choice you make in vibration collides in unison with the totality of vibrational choice, and an option comes into being. This option is a decision which will be carried out within experience unless a vibrational change occurs. So I may get mad, right? Jasmine reacts in the way she's going to react. Well, now I have my options come back in based on her reaction, but I have another moment to choose. I may have got mad 1 second ago, but now I can choose to notice what's going on and start letting that go, right? So we can continue down the path of having an argument, or I can start making choices that are going to start to point us in a different direction. And that's always there. The fact that I chose to get mad 2 seconds ago does not mean I have to continue to make that choice. Now is a new moment. Right now, I am still within the program, still making choices about which road I want to go down. And I can realize, oops, that wasn't the best choice. I can tell by the look on Jasmine's face. I think I'll make another choice. Or, ooh, that wasn't the best choice. I can tell by how I feel. This is what A Course in Miracles teaches in the Rules for Decision. I can tell by how I feel I did not make the best choice. I'm now going to start looking to Holy Spirit for making choices. I'm going to start making better choices with Spirit, right? So there is always a choice in vibration, and the choice you make in vibration collides in unison with the totality of vibrational choice, and an option comes into being. This option is a decision which will be carried out within experience unless a vibrational change occurs. If a vibrational change does occur, a new option will be presented, and that is the option that will be experienced. Vibrational energies can change in any moment, and the effect is change in flow. No change can occur in vibration without a change in effect. So when I'm choosing to get mad, and then the next minute matter, and the next minute matter, and the next minute matter, I am walking down a particular path. But at any minute, it could be the third mad down the path, it could be the fourth mad down the path, if I choose to say, whoa, 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 look at what I'm doing here. And I choose now to say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, I want to take this back. I want to get more clarity. I want to let go of this. I want to start listening to her differently. Then I start walking down a different path. And that can happen at any moment. And both paths, the mad path and the let it go path, are within the oneness. I've never left the oneness. And so I asked Spirit, I said, so at a level of practicality, which means you're talking way above my head, Spirit. That's how, you know, that's not like the way Spirit usually talks to me. All this vibration stuff. Like, wait a minute, wait a minute. So at the level of practicality, back, let's bring it back down to Regina's level, okay? How does this work? All right? And Spirit answers. A shift in perception, or a shift in how you choose to experience an event, is a shift in vibration. This creates a shift in flow. In other words, you and others will react differently based on a different vibrational flow. So if Jasmine and I are having a fight because I keep choosing mad, I get mad, she gets mad, I get madder, she gets madder, right? Matter, 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 matter. And then I realize what's going on, and I start to make a different choice. She is also going to be affected differently. She has to be. Because two people choosing to get mad is a different vibration than only one person choosing to get mad. Right? It's different. It's changed. It's shifted. And it's going to affect both of us. It's impossible for that not to happen. So a shift in perception, or a shift in how you choose to experience an event, is a shift in vibration. This creates a shift in flow, or a change in the program, right? You're now going down a different path in the program. In other words, you and others will react differently based on a different vibrational flow. And Peace Pilgrim demonstrated this many times with her choices, if you've read her book. So the question is, so my choice and perception affects others? The answer, yes, since there are no others. There is only flow. Stop thinking about independent people. There's flow, right? Everyone, in every moment, is acting at their vibrational level in perfect harmony with the total vibrational flow. Nothing is ever out of whack. Each instant is completely perfect. Each action and each personality is a perfect outcome of the flow. So my choice, which came to me through the flow, my choice to get mad or my choice to see that and let it go, right? My choice becomes a vibrational choice, which has to affect the whole outcome. It has to. Like I said, me choosing mad and Jasmine choosing mad is one vibration. Me choosing to let go of mad, even if Jasmine still chooses mad, is a different vibration. And there's no way the story that plays out can be the same as it would have been with both of us choosing mad. It has to be a different story. It has to be a different path. And I experienced that with Jasmine. Well, first of all, Jasmine actually doesn't get mad that much anymore now that I've quit choosing mad. But, you know, she still does make that choice within her own mind sometimes. It never lasts because I'm not joining her in it. The way Eckhart Tolle would have described this was how pain bodies feed on each other. That if there's not one pain body to feed another pain body, then the one pain body that's there must die out because it's not being fed, right? It's a different way of saying the same thing. Or as Laurent said, you know, if there's you have to stop dancing if there's no more dancers, if there's no one to dance with. So my choice does affect everyone involved. Absolutely. It has to, because we aren't separate. We're one. We're part of that same script, the same flow. So if I am making a choice that changes the vibration of the flow, then we all experience the effect of that change. So I said, so there really are no choices beyond a choice in perception, but a choice in perception affects the vibrational flow, resulting in what seems to be a different option or a different path, right? And the answer, yes. But the current option is the result of the current flow. A different option cannot truly exist now. In other words, if the idea does not even come into my mind to turn around and leave, well, then there's no way I'm going to turn around and leave, right? I am limited by what comes into my mind. So the current option is the result of the current flow. So for me to have a regret later, because I didn't turn and leave when the option was never even presented, is again just imagination. I wish I had thought of this, right? That's the belief in independence. I wish I had thought to do this. I wish I had thought to say this. Those regrets are imagination. They're believing I'm independent. They're believing I had options other than the options provided by the flow in the moment. The current option is the result of the current flow. A different option cannot truly exist now. Each moment is perfect. It cannot be different. It cannot be truly judged. To learn this is to learn everything. Your only choice is your choice in how to see or feel, right? But this choice has an effect on everything you experience. It cannot be different from this. So this really explains how there is choice and how there is oneness without independence, right? The choices that are presented, the thoughts that come into our mind, come from the whole. If we have two or three options, we will make a choice, and that contributes to all of the options that are provided in the next moment because we've gone down a certain path within the script, we'll say, using the language of the Course. But we can never be guilty because we can never make a choice that's not within the script. Every moment is always perfect because it was written by our oneness. It is a part of the script. You know, I will tell you that, again, as a director of a training department later, when other people who worked for me designed these scripts, and, you know, you could choose option A, B, C, or D, and different things would happen. When I looked at their work, I did not say, your work is bad. because it has these options in it. I never once said that. Your work is bad because it has these options in it. I knew the work was going to have different options. And I knew some options would provide some outcomes and other options would provide other outcomes. And I knew that the people taking the computer-based training class would learn regardless of the options they chose. My perception as a director, looking at the work of my employees who created these programs, I never once said that's a bad option. I would certainly speak if there was a breakdown in a path and you start going down a path and then it just kicks you out of the scenario. But as long as the options played themselves out, I never saw a bad option. That's what Spirit Jehovah is telling us. There's no such thing as a bad option, but a bad option will play itself out. So what you want to do is learn. You want to learn how to make the choices that are going to result in the most happiness, the most peace. Same thing as what we wanted our managers to do when they took these courses. We wanted them to learn how to make the choices, right, that were going to result in the best effect. But there's not a bad choice. You cannot be guilty. It's all within a closed program. Okay, so that is the message of the flow. And it's a pretty meaty message. So next week we will continue. All right, so I'll see you then. I'll also see you Wednesday morning if you're around. And Laurent, I'm assuming you're teaching Tuesday. So you can see Laurent on Tuesday if you want to. Okay? Yeah, what time, Laurent, do you teach on Tuesday? Do you know Eastern time? Just go ahead and type that in. And I will let go. 12 o'clock Eastern time. Okay, good. So Laurent's 12 o'clock, and I'll be 10 o'clock on Wednesday. All right, bye, everyone.